Blog Talk Radio.
COBRA Harm Report and Ujamaa Reparations Collective Work and Responsibility Initiative. That's tonight's subject. Stay with us. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, freedom, and sovereignty. Peace family, welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, call 929-477-2789. The number one on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, please go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will then be on the Blog Talk Radio site. And if you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the Follow button. I am Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Dr. Onaji Muid. I hope I'm saying his name right. He's the male co-chair of NCOBRA's Health Commission. He will be discussing the NCOBRA Harm Report and Ujima Reparations Collective Work and Responsibility Initiative. Fine, Brother Dr. Muid on our call center. Brother, please indicate that you want to speak so I can open your mic. I have a number for him, but that number is not showing up on the list of people who are listening to this call. So I'm going to, is anyone on the call who can help a sister out here? Raise your hand in a minute while we wait for the good doctor to join us tonight. Okay, so I guess y'all just want to talk. Okay, now from, I have to tell the truth, I have no information whatsoever about the harm report. I am going to, hopefully someone can get in touch with Brother and let him know that we're waiting for him. And I will talk about something else that's going on. So we are having all kinds of problems with technical problems. Okay. So I'm going to pick a number off of the call and just ask someone to, oh, okay, wait a minute. Somebody's raising their hand. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Okay, this is caller with the last four digits, 8912. Please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask a question. Thank you.
Yes, Sister Q, this is Brother Thurman calling from Richmond, Virginia. And just want to let you know, Brother Shabaka had just checked on the brother. And Shabaka, you can put him on the line at 3440, and he should be able to tell you what the status is.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Thurman. Appreciate that. I'm going to go to Brother Shabaka now. Peace, Brother Shabaka. Can we get
Peace, Sister. I'm trying to contact Brother Onaji. I think he may have, he was confusing the Central Time and the Eastern Time. I think we said Eastern. I'm trying to contact him now. Right.
Okay. All right.
But you don't see his phone number on the dial?
No, I don't. The number that, not the number that he gave me, that he emailed to me, and I have asked that if he's listening, if he's one of the numbers that I'm seeing here, to go ahead and raise his hand so I can, you know, open his mic, but none of those numbers have done so. So
tell him to press one if he's there. Tell him to press one so that you can see. That'll be raising his hand.
Okay. Brother Dr. Onaji, if you can hear me, please press one on your keypad so I can open the mic for you and we can continue with our conversation. I'm not getting anything, Brother Shabaka. So what we can do is...
Let me talk a little bit about the harms report a little bit.
Okay.
And are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I can hear you. The
NCOBRA harm report was basically some research that was done initiated by COVID, all right, to deal with, to dwell into some of the research and investigation on what we call transgenerational epigenetic trauma. Is somewhat similar to in a sociological sense, the piece that was put out dealing with the impact of slavery. But this was looking more, in fact, associated with the physical problems that have stemmed from slavery on up to the present time. And so, and I'll tell you one of the reasons that this initiative was important to NCOBRA at the time. During the time when we had initiated, when COBRA had initiated lawsuits, you know, of on reparations, a number of the lawsuits failed because the courts at that time said that they had no legal standing. Consequently, it said that you have the present generation of Africans, people of African descent in the U.S., is so far removed from slavery that we couldn't possibly have still sustained any impact from such a traumatic period. Well, what the epigenetics found out, all right, what the epigenetics research and investigation found out, and part of the report dwelled on that, was that that's not necessarily true, and that, you know, epigenetics trauma, you know, usually extend over one generation. In other words, if trauma may have happened to parents and they are traumatically affected by that, you know, that can be passed on genetically to the child. And there was certain research that was done that showed that the trauma that was passed on during the Jewish Holocaust in the 30s and 40s, all right, had an impact on the offsprings, you know, of who people that went through that trauma in Nazi Germany. Well, transgenerational mean that several generations have passed, and as a consequence of that passing, scientists still found that information still was transmitted, all right, to the offspring, even though they might have been three and four generations removed from the initiation of the trauma, all right. So that sort of like shoots in the face, you know, of the legal presence, you know, argument that we have no legal standing because we can go back generations and show that we have been negatively impacted physically as a consequence, you know, of the imposition of slavery, and that in addition to that, post 1855 of the Civil War, the continual Jim Crow and repression and discrimination afforded to people of African descent in this country, you know, even have compounded that. So that study was extremely important, and then COBRA initiated it, and as a consequence of that, it helped to clarify, or at least in our minds. And so a campaign, this report has just been out less than a month. The research have happened over the period of a year, all right, and this was collected. This was information that was collected. And we've had the Krager Institute in Maryland initiated the literature search on this in order to see, all right, what was going on. And so that as a consequence of that, it aided us and COBRA, you know, in coming up with this report. And they collected the data, and that report, and let me give you the website where that report can be downloaded for people that may be interested in getting a thorough understanding of that. And that is you can go to NCOBRA's website, www.ncobraonline.com. ancobraonline.org. That's ancobraonline.org. Ancobraonline is all one word, .org. All right? And then you can click on where it says the harm report. And that will give you a tremendous amount of information on the harm report. It's a 45-page report, but there's a number of things that are there. And just to give you an example, one of the things is, what do you and I need to know as a consequence of this report? All right?
Okay.
And let me let me just spell that out as best as I can. Now, the report gets a little bit technical, but there's other instruments on the website that helps you to translate it, because this was a collection of research that had been done, transgenerational epigenetics research that has been done. And consequently, you know, when you get into and this is talking about the impacts on the genes, right, and you start talking about, you know, biological microbiology and all this stuff, all right, in order to come up with. But what should the listening audience know? All right, what they should know is that it is how the negative impact or effects of various life experiences can get passed down through chemical modifications to the genes. Let me say that again. All right, and that's why it gets a little technical, but some of this stuff, I say, can be brought up if you go to the website. It is how the negative effects of various life experiences, i.e. trauma, can be passed down through chemical modifications to the genes to affect the health and well-being of future generations. Consequently, grandchildren and great-grandchildren can be negatively impacted by ancestral trauma, even when they have have not been directly exposed to that trauma. All right. So that's one of the main importance of transgenerational epigenetics, is the result that, and this is the research, this is research that white people did, to explain, number one, the effects and impact that it had on the offspring of Jewish children right after the Holocaust, okay? That was one of the things that they noticed, and that solicited more inquisitiveness about, well, what's going on? These Jewish children have, you know, the Holocaust is over. They're free now. All right. But they were still exhibiting some kind of things. And one of the things is this, that might be understood. Like, and let me give just a real brief example. And if the listener, the family noticed that on our program, we've been really talking a lot about health, and we will have been talking about COVID and the vaccines that's given. All right, in a theoretical model, because it has not been proven yet, because this is the first time mRNA genetic therapy has been introduced as a gene therapy, as a vaccine, all right, to address, you know, an illness, a disease. This is the first time in history that this particular technology has been used. Yes, sister, did you have a question?
No, I was going to say the gene therapy as the title for the
mRNA. Right, it's gene therapy.
Yeah.
Right. Now, as was explained before, what the mRNA is a specific messenger RNA coming from the genes, all right, of allegedly the virus that is responsible for the disease COVID-19. All right. The significance of this particular, theoretically, all right, because it hasn't been done before, but what they put, they manufactured this in a synthetic. It's synthetic. They put this together in a Petri dish, all right? So they did not necessarily excavate it, from the actual live virus, all right, and then made Okay. Multiple copies of it. They manufactured this based on their theoretical model of what this thing looked like. Consequently, all right, what they did was then in manufacturing this and putting it into this syringe, and the thing had to be, you know, kept at extremely low temperature in order to maintain its consistency. Otherwise, it would fall apart.
Uh-huh.
All right, but you know, and but anyway, so they put it there, and the information that this mRNA vaccine, or rather not vaccine, RNA messenger virus had, is that it would go into the cell, and how they got it into the cell is to put it into a lipid nanoparticle, which would go into the cell, all right, and then it would then, after it went into the cell, it would then go to the ribosomes, which is responsible for making protein. Now, the particular protein that this would make is the spike protein, because they say the spike protein is responsible, which will allow the genetic material of the virus to get into the cell to replicate. All right. All right. So now this, that's the theory. The theory is that the mRNA, all right, messenger RNA would then produce a spike protein, all right, through the actions of the cell, and then that spike protein will be identified by the immune system, all right, to then create antibodies. That's the theory.
Okay.
Transgenerational epigenetics says that that messenger RNA might not necessarily do the same thing in black people who have been exposed for generations, all right, associated with slavery, as it might affect, all right, the European settler whose parents came here, great-grandparents came here 100, 200, 300 years ago. It might not affect, it might not do the same thing. That's all it's saying, is it might not do the same thing as a consequence of the trauma, that the messaging may be wrong, all right, and might not do the same thing. Now, you might ask.
It might also.
Yeah, go ahead, sister, please.
I was going to say it might also not do the same thing because of melanin in and of itself would have a different effect. They almost never test medicines on people with melanin. They generally test it on people without. So it's always a crapshoot when we get medicine from them.
That's exactly right. And so the harm report mentioned that, and the significance, family, is that how we think we are perceiving and using this medication, which is modeled after a white upper middle class male, how he would respond to the medication is not necessarily the same way that we physiologically can respond to the same medication, all right?
Absolutely.
And so that's the significance. The disease compounded and hit us in large proportions when COVID came disproportionately. All right. A lot of folks said it was associated with this, associated with that. And some of the things that they said was associated with could be true. But in addition to that, we have not even examined, all right, this phenomena, because it's the research. You know, the research just goes back, you know, the 90s to the present. So it's not something that's been, you know, really old, all right? And it's been, you know, not recent. But anyway, you might ask, well, what sort of negative health effects have been linked to this trauma, all right? It is not, you know, from my own reading. This is my own reading. You know, it's not only mental, all right? And substance use disorder that is linked, you know, substance use, because they, you know, always associated with substance abuse associated with that.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh.
But the trauma, especially in childhood, increases the risk for a whole host of health problems, including, now I want you to listen to this, and I know that the average person who's on this call can listen, is associated with obesity. Now, you go out in the community, open your door. All right, diabetics. Okay. This is the transgenerational trauma. All right. Heart attacks. We notice those things. Liver diseases. Breathing the problems. Well, that's associated with even COVID and even cancer. All right, so we see a number of these things. This is what the literature has found out from the search, that these things can be linked to that. So when we say it's disproportionate, well, there's a reason for this disproportionality is the fact that we've been traumatized. Our parents, our great-grandparents have been traumatized as a consequence of what they experienced in slavery and post-slavery period on up to the present time. Now, question might come, and it's a good question if it comes. How do we know that the trauma in one generation can affect the health and well-being of future generations? Okay. Now, remember we said that there was some studies that was done right after the Holocaust. All right, and when they noticed certain kind of things, you know, happening in the offsprings of people who parents experienced the Holocaust. All right, well, most of the research has been done on animals and mice. All right, this is when they noticed this. And so now what they've done, and, you know, we always use an animal for animal research, all right, to take a look at, see what's going on. And what they noticed is that they place sort of like stresses on mice, okay, to get a response, to get the mouse to respond. Consequently, when the mice respond, all right, negatively, then what they did is then look at the offsprings of these mice and examine the behavior, all right? So they examined the behavior of these mice to see what was wrong with them, and they noticed that they noticed certain patterns associated with the mice, all right, offsprings. All right, so now just remember, now they've been traumatizing and stress out the parents, all right, and so they wanted to see what was going on. All right, and they did this, and they noticed a certain behavior, and then they noticed similar kind of behavior in the offspring of the mice, all right? Consequently, they knew that there was something that was transmitted generationally, all right? Now, if that trauma persists continuously, all right, they noticed that even the offspring of the offspring exhibited some strange behavior. All right? Do you hear me?
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So a number of these things is what the literature has revealed, and what ANCOBRA did was to set out and try to do its own research and collection. So we went to, my understanding, they went to Howard University, all right, and attempted to see if they could get the research at the medical school at Howard. In addition to that, they may have went to Meharry. I can't vouch for that, but I know that they went to Morehouse.
Okay.
All of this was to try to get information to do the research, and the only group that volunteered to do this was Krieger Institute at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, and consequently. They did the research, did the report, and now with the report, we find out it is pretty damning on the impact of the report, because we can see a number of diseases that is associated, all right, which we usually say, well, this poor died here and poor died there. Yeah, well, it might be poor died, but it's some other kind of factors that we're finding out is affecting what's going on. But let me stop here to see if you have any more comments. Yeah.
Yes, we do have someone that wants to ask a question or make a comment, so I'm going to open their mic. And
okay, thank you.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 6698, please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question.
Thank you.
Yes, family, this is Brother Thurman giving a call back. I just wanted to make the suggestion that you announce the last four numbers of Dr. Anaji's phone number and tell him once again to press the number one because he may be in the audience.
Okay. All right. So the last four digits I'm looking for is 0217. And if he would press one, we can know that he is here. Let's see if that's going to help. Okay, that was a good idea, Brother Thurman. We have, looks like we have Brother.
No problem.
We're glad to have you.
My wife wanted me to go shopping, and she didn't tell me she was going to four stores.
Oh, so, okay.
Four stores.
Okay.
And,
so,
of course, we. My apologies.
Well, brother, I'm glad you got back here. This is Shabaka. I'm glad you got on. Because I was trying to explain this, and I'm sure I put everybody to sleep. But thank you for getting on, and appreciate we understand, you know, this that time of year. All right.
Okay.
Thank you,
thank you, Brother Shabaka, for holding down the chair for us. Appreciate you. Okay, so Brother Dr. Anaji Muib, is that how you pronounce your
yes.
name?
Yes, yes, it is.
Welcome.
Very good. Yes. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Welcome. So we will kind of sort of begin at the beginning of our conversation. Will you, we had already mentioned that you are the co-chair, the male co-chair of INCOBRA's Health Commission. Brother Shabaka gave a little bit of information about the harm report, and we would like for you to tell a little about yourself and INCOBRA and how you got involved with INCOBRA.
I am because we are, therefore I am. I'll start with Assistant Kichi inviting me to join INCOBRA in the late 1900s. I can't think when it was, but I was doing some international work with the International Human Rights Association for American Minorities, and Yusuf Clyde was the founder of that NGO, who was Malcolm's chairperson of OAU in Canada. So it's really following in the footsteps of El-Hajj Manigal Shabazz, Malcolm X, that I found myself doing this work. So I have worked with INCOBRA for, oh my goodness, I guess 20 years as the international commissioner and then also as the chair of the Peoplehood Committee for the litigation. And after going to South Africa in 2001 as a delegate to the United Nations World Conference Against Racism, I knew I needed to better understand the extent of the hurt, of the harm. And then at that point, I went back to school and got a master's degree in social work and just finished completing my doctorate in social work, looking at not only the harm, but in terms of what's the remedy. And of course, the remedy is reparations. To look at the work of Van Boven, the special rapporteur, he says reparations is compensation, restitution, rehabilitation, and also monitoring. And my focus is on rehabilitation, to give you a little bit of a summary of, you know, how I've been involved in the thing, and what my focus is right now is the rehabilitation of our people, making our people whole from these 400 years of terror and tragedy.
Okay, thank you for that. So Brother Shabaka was giving us some information about the harm report, and the Ujima Reparations Collective Work and Responsibility Initiative. He directed us to the website. We're putting it up on the website, making it available to people, because a lot of times things get put out there and we don't know where to find it. A lot of times we don't even know it's there. So we're glad to know where to go and get that information so we can study it for ourselves. Brother Chewbacca, just before you got here, was talking about what the health implications are that are linked to transgenerational epigenetic trauma. He mentioned diabetes, I think cancer, heart conditions, and breathing problems. What, how do we look for these things among ourselves? You know, like in the family, because people don't, in general, associate our health with what has gone on before in our lineage. And so people will just say, you know, you need to eat better, or you need to exercise, or you need to do this, you need to do that. Is that helpful?
Is that helpful? Yes, but but it has limits. And so maybe in the last 10 years, certainly 5 years, there's been this increasing understanding that it's not just those things that matter in terms of one's health. And the terminology we use is we call them the social determinants of health. And that's a polite way of saying that when people are living in oppressive conditions, all those factors are going to impact one's mental, physical, spiritual, and in fact, social health. So it's where you live. It's the air quality that you breathe. It's the stress, the enormous amount of stress that you're under that's going to put upon and it's going to exact a price. So when we have the overproduction of cortisol, which is called the stress hormone, when we have an overproduction, it wears the body down. It's called weathering, where your immune system is compromised. And, of course, once your immune system is compromised, you're open to any kind of disease. Any of the systems can start to fail as a result of that. So it's not just social determinants of health. It's really the political determinants of health, right? A condition which Dr. Martin Luther King said, we are living in domestic colonies. So once we understand that, we can begin to see how these policies contribute to our quality of life that we're experiencing.
Thank you. A question came as you were mentioning that. So we are, it's a political, as you say, policy that has us where we are experiencing what we are experiencing as a collective, as a community of people. Would knowing the game plan on the other side and the information that you're giving in the harm report, would knowing that help us to better negotiate what we have to do for ourselves individually and as a group of people and minimize the consequences of the political agenda until we get into a place where we can handle our own business?
Yes. That certainly is the invitation for us to look at this in a critical way. And I think what the harm report does, it gives us a foundation to start this inquiry and to put together So in COBRA, the Health Commission, we are looking at a number of strategies that we can go about using the report for our education and ultimately for our health. If we look at that process in three tiers, the first tier is to have NCOBRA itself read up and know about the report, be knowledgeable about the report, right, us, our organization. Then we become the conduit for that information to go out to the Black community, because as people of African descent, we have all these connections, our families, you know, where we work, so forth and so on. So the second tier is the Black community itself. And then the third tier is all the other entities that we may be involved with, and they're not mutually exclusive. So for example, Dr. Nave, who is really the catalyst for this report, he's been studying epigenetics for the last 15 years. In fact, the name of his book, let me go and get the name of his book, so my wife's nice man. The name of Dr. Nave's book is Another Case for Reparations. And in here, he makes the connection between the enslavement of our ancestors, the harm that's been passed down through epigenetics, through historical trauma, and the health conditions that we are experiencing today. So he, someone like himself, a member of NCOBRA, certainly part of the Black community, but he's a doctor, so he's part of the of the medical establishment as well. So these tiers aren't mutually exclusive, and so the third tier. So that's one strategy we're using to gain the utility of the report. And the second thing that we're looking at is, okay, as we're doing that, how can we start to create social health circles? And these are circles of individuals that come together and begin to discuss the report and saying, well, how does it relevant to me? How is it relevant to our family? What utility can we get from that? And the more social wealth circles we create, then the more organized we are in terms of understanding and using the report, and then, of course, going a step further in terms of how can we then begin to have cooperatives, health cooperatives. We need to own our own stores. We need to have our doctors and our nurses cater to our needs from an African-centered point of view, not from a Eurocentric point of view. And some of your audience may know or may not know the work of Asebe, who used food, literally used food to cure people from AIDS, to cure cancer. One person was blind. I mean, it's phenomenal. And then when the medical establishment tried to attack him, he won this court against the Supreme Court. So we know that if we go back to our foods, the foods that relate to our genetic gene pool, that's going to help us heal, because we are addicted to these American diets, right? High calories, low nutrition. And we're spending money, giving these institutions our money, and we're getting sick. That's a losing formula. So how can we change that formula around? So NCOBRA is looking at a way to make this report not only as a grounds for the next suit that we're going to launch in terms of claiming for reparations, but in the meantime, how then do we organize, mobilize our peoples, and that's what we're looking at right now.
Okay, thank you. So you mentioned having the report available at individually, the health, our doctors use the information as they work on helping us restore our health. Are there any other steps that you can think of that people can use? Like right now, I haven't read the harm report. I now understand about diseases that are transmitted through the genes. I know that you were saying that, well, I suggested it and you said it's true, that what we eat, what we, you know, our lifestyle choices can make. And what else do you think we can do? You talked about the health collective. That sounds
right. So when we look at these different organizations, it's probably in my coat. Sorry. So what we are doing is to convening different gatherings to have our nurses, doctors, counselors look at the report, right? Those who are already in the health field. So we're calling, we're having a meeting on the 28th of December, which is, as you know, UGMA, Collective Work and Responsibility. So we're calling that day UGMA, Reparations, Collective Work and Responsibility. So the National Association of Black Social Workers, the National Association of Black Psychologists, and certain members in COBRA are coming together to say, okay, now that which we know about the report, what can we do? And what can we extract from it in doses that makes it, you know, digestible? So on January, we're going to have a 2-hour webinar where after those organizations come together and decide what their agenda wants to be and who's going to speak on what, we're going to have a kickoff meeting. And then we might even say that the kickoff meeting started at the time we didn't know it, but it started really in Chicago. That is, the National Association of Black Psychologists invited a number of black professionals, doctors, Dr. Nave was there, other names I can't recall, in the local Chicago community, and they made their comments. That plus a comment from the president, the current president of the National Association of Black Psychologists, made some comments about the report, and now that has sparred us on to start to collect written testimony, and that's going to be the second publication, right? It's going to be the community's response to the harm report. And we're hoping to do that 4 times each quarter, come up with those responses so the community is talking to itself. So in COBRA is just a spark, right? But the fire is with the people. So every time we get information, we're going to categorize it, put it together, and that's going to report. So we're planning to have at least 4 reports. So, but the reports won't be standalone reports. We'll be different, having different webinars. So we have activities planned so far. The first one is on the planning session is on the 28th of December. The 13th of January is in COBRA's, and you know, we just might call it UGMA, Reparations, Collective Work and Responsibility. And then February, the National Association of Black Social Workers is going to hold a forum on reparations and the history of reparations and contact people, right? And then also, and then in March, the National Association of Black Social Workers is having its national convention in Chicago. And we're hoping that that's going to be a culmination of these 3 months of organizing. And by that time, we would have, you know, compiled all kinds of resources. And then we want to get educators involved so they can take this information and create curriculums, right? Curriculums that they'll be at, you know, they can start to share the information at church, at the mosque, mm-hmm. at the community center, and certainly in the homes.
Okay, thank you. As I understand it, and rescue me from wrong, in COBRA as an organization is also a member of ULU.
Of what?
of Ulu, of us lifting us.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Well, I will. You know, we'll make a slight adjustment to that statement. We're not really an organization.
Okay.
We are a coalition. We are a coalition, and we have individual membership as well as organizational memberships. But all of this is really, I think, leading to the ultimate, and that is we begin to understand that we are a nation of people, and there's a difference between a nation and a state, as Umari Obadeli has taught us. So yes, all of this is happening in such a fashion where we can start to make these connections and begin to forcefully and unapologetically make the demand for reparations.
Okay. So how do you see, I guess, a more robust cooperation between us lifting us and in COBRA, bringing the harm report, getting it out more? Is it, I'm not even sure how I can ask the question. Because as what we're, us lifting us is dealing mainly with economic sovereignty. But we understand we can't have that without health, without good health. And so your harm report seems to me to be part of the pattern of how we would improve our health so that we have the energy and the mental stability and all the other things on a physical, mental, emotional level that we need to apply ourselves to the economic piece. Do you see that as a value?
Oh, most definitely. You know, we live in a capitalist society, and we really can't talk about any forward progress, you know, without looking at economics, Ujamaa cooperative economics, certainly. And Maury Evans, I use her analogy a lot because it's very simple, but it's very comprehensive. She says, if you make a people mystified, dependent, subordinate, and powerless, you've colonized them. And therefore, our struggle for liberation must be the antithesis of those things, right? So how do we move from mystification to education? How do we move from dependency to self-reliance? And certainly when we talk about self-reliance, we're talking about an economy. So the work that you're doing, part and parcel, I mean, remember, reparations are means to an end. And the end is for people to live a high-quality life. And it has to be mental, physical, spiritual, and collective. So I would see our working together. This call is certainly very much a major step for that to happen. But, of course, it means when we get off the call, having each other's numbers, and we know what each other is doing, and we can bring people to those activities, to those projects, so that we can have more people involved. So I do think it's a symbiotic relationship.
Okay. So before we go, and we're not going just yet, but I would like to repeat how people can find the harm report. Brother Shibaka gave us the digits, we say. And I went to the site while we were on the call, and I did. It looked, I haven't been able to read it because I'm talking, but I saw it. So the website is incobraonline.org. That's
correct.
ncobraonline.org. And when you get to the website, at the very top of the page, go across, and there is a tab that says the harm report. So people can just click on that. And Brother Shabaka told us it's about 45 time in Egypt. You know. We,
yes,
that, I think we, go ahead.
Yeah, that it can be found there. Thank you so much for bringing that to your audience attention. Also, they can email the Health Commission, which is NCOBRA, and same thing, NCOBRA, Health Commission at gmail.com. Those of you who may not have had a pension and might have it now, I'll repeat it again. That's NCOBRA, Health Commission at gmail.com. That's our email to the commission. If someone needs to call me, would like to call me, that my phone is 646-662-0217. That is 646-662-0217. And when people call me, I'll probably do two things. One is to direct them to the local NCOBRA chapter that's closest to them. And then if they feel a particular affinity with the Health Commission, they can join the Health Commission as a member. But you have to be a member first. So I would direct them to the local chapter if it's close, or if that's not close, to the regional chair. We have like five regions. But I would make that connection, because only when we are organized can we realize our power and our strength to move our people forward.
That's a very good point that you make there. So, again, I think we'll put these in the program notes for Cobra Health Commission at gmail.com. And Brother's phone number, Brother Doctor's phone number. So we can, if you feel that this is something that you want to help, some word that you want to help get out. And if you're not a member of NCOBRA, you can join NCOBRA first. And if you are a member of NCOBRA, you'll have to give your brother, Dr. Onazi. What would you like to make sure people take away from tonight's conversation?
I want one thing to take away, that even though there could certainly be more areas of harm because of our kidnap, transport, enslavement, and oppression through domestic colonialism, we identified five injury areas: peoplehood and nationhood, the destruction of our people's culture, the infringement of the larger culture upon us, which is in fact is a human rights violation, forced cultural assimilation, forces cultural assimilation. We also look at education as being a harm area that we have been deprived of. And certainly we can read the works of Dr. Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation of the Negro, that lays that out quite clearly, and other educators as well. So people not having their own education will be subject to the education goals of other people. And then, of course, the criminal justice consequence. Enslavement, we went from chattel slavery to sharecropping to the criminal lease system to peonage and now the mass incarceration. So they've always treated us in this way of how do they contain us. So the harm in terms of criminal punishment is indeed. And you talked about economics, right? Wealth and poverty, right? That's been the economic stamp that has kept us down, in addition, of course, to health. So those are the five injury areas. Peoplehood, nationhood, that's one. Education, two. Health, three. Criminal justice, four. And wealth and poverty, five. So when we embrace, this is called the Decade for People of African Descent from 2015 to 2024, with three major principles. One is recognition. Two is justice, and three is development. So we're in an opportune time to connect ourselves locally, connect ourselves statewide, connect ourselves nationally, and connect ourselves internationally because of these forums are taking place at this time. Just in the last week, they have appointed individuals to be on what is called the Permanent Forum for People of African Descent at the United Nations. All the work that Garvey did, the work that Paul Robeson did, Du Bois, Patterson, the Black Panthers, all the work we've done on the international plane, and we have to also include the December 12th movement. We have to also include Patrice Lumumba Coalition. All the international work is coming to an head because many of the African as well as the Caribbean countries are calling for these kinds of things. So the harm report is a good thing because it shows us not only the harm that has occurred, but also the ways in which we can address those harms for correction. And that's the good thing about it. So the harm report doesn't change the gene. It changes how the gene gets expressed. And we can also therefore have the ability to augment how the genes can be put back into its normal function for the rehabilitation of our people.
And that sounds like a worthy goal to have, actually. We need all the pieces that we can gather together. And I think many of us never thought in terms of trauma experience over, you know, 200 or 300 years that allegedly ended would still be affecting children born right now today. So I think I personally thank you for the report. I'm glad I learned of it.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because the work I do happens to be in the area of infant mortality, happens to be in the area of maternal mortality. And even though the number has gone down in terms of the absolute number, but the gap between black and white infant mortality is increasing over the last 10 years. And that's really where we have to start. We have to take a really good look at, okay, what are all the things that we can do to ensure the safety of the mother, of the pregnant mother, the safety of delivery of that child, and also the safety of the mother after she gives birth, because so many black women are dying because of the stress of being oppressed and trauma that they are dying within the first year. In fact, so many women are dying, they're talking about the language they're using is the fourth trimester. That is how serious transgenerational trauma is, how serious the epigenetic inheritance burden is that our women are dying after delivering the babies. And I haven't even talked about the number of abortions that we voluntarily do. I'm just talking about those women who are choosing to have their children and not being able to do that. All that is connected to this transgenerational trauma burden that we are experiencing, because studies have found women, African women coming from Africa, coming here, have a higher rate of good births when they get here. After 10 years, they slide back and they are showing the same level of disparities as our women do here. So we know it's the environment, but this is what we have to reverse. And this is why reparations is so important. Queen Mother Moore taught us that everything, all these problems we experience is because of this situation, and everything, in fact, is a reparations problem. Well, once we have that lens to understand that, the demand has to come forward unapologetically and strong enough so that we can go beyond H.R. 40 and start to have the institutions that will be able to serve as well. And it has to be African-centered from a point of view of our scholars. It's like Fred Newsom, he's an internist at Harlem Hospital who was also a part of NCOBA. We have to use his work, you know, the work of Dr. Nave. We have to use our scholars' work to build these health institutions that pertain to us.
Thank you so much for that. So we're a little late finishing tonight, but it's a worthy conversation, and I'm sure the people that hung with us are glad they did. I want to thank you, Brother Dr. Onaji Muid, for joining us tonight. Thank you for letting us know what's coming up with the process of bringing the harm report out more into the open. And I'm pretty sure that Brother Shabaka will keep us abreast since he's a member of NCOBRA as well. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. Thank you for to Brother Shabaka for holding it down until you joined us. And I want to thank everybody else who joined us this evening. We will be back next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock for another installment of Dare to Win. Thank you again, Brother Dr. Onaji Muid.
Thank you.
Okay.
Harambe.
Peace.